the Campbell Soups are good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson. Yes, listen to Jack Carson, Betty Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 9-year-old Norma Jean Nilsson, Irene Ryan, yours truly Del Sharbert, and our guests, George Burns and Gracie Allen. Next time you're marketing, be sure to take home a couple of cans of Campbell's Tomato Soup. It's a dish the family will be mighty glad to see waiting for them any mealtime. Yes, sir, folks always love the smooth, delicious taste of Campbell's Tomato Soup. The matchless flavor of the summer's finest tomatoes blended with golden table butter. Mmm, good. Why, it brings a taste of midsummer right into your midwinter meals. Now, why not start off supper tomorrow with Campbell's Tomato Soup? Remember, it's the soup most folks like best. Well, folks, Jack is all excited about the report that Frank Sinatra has had to postpone his next moving picture. We don't know how all this affects Jack, but let's look into 22 North Hollywood Lane and get the lowdown from Jack Carson.
But, Uncle Jack, even if Frank Sinatra isn't going to make that picture he was supposed to, what's that got to do with you?
Well, Tugwell, they're looking for someone to take his place. There's an ad right here in Variety. Listen to this. It says, auditions for Sinatra's substitute will be held this afternoon.
Does it say that, sir?
Yes, Treacher. Listen to the rest of it. The description fits me exactly. We are looking for a fresh personality. I'm a fresh personality.
So far, so good.
A singer who is young and ambitious. I'm young and ambitious.
So far, that's very good.
And who is handsome to the point where he has an undeniable attraction for the opposite sex.
I knew it couldn't last.
If I'm not handsome, then why do they put me in pictures with Ann Sheridan?
Ann Sheridan keeps asking that same question.
Very funny, Tugwell. Listen to the rest of this ad. The most important requirement for the singer who replaces Sinatra is that he must have a voice that mesmerizes women.
What does mesmerize mean?
Well, it's something like hypnotism. It means that the voice should have a quality that causes women to fall under its spell.
Well, gee, Uncle Jack can do that.
Of course. Tuggle, do you remember when I sang that benefit for the laundry workers?
Well, yeah, right in the middle of the song, three girls stiffened right out.
That's right, they stiffened right out like a board.
Of course, later they found out the girls had fell in a tub of starch.
Maybe so, but those girls were crazy about my singing. They're still sending me mash notes from the laundry. I haven't got a shirt tail that doesn't say I love you on it. Indelible, too.
Mr. Carson, I don't wish to undermine your confidence, but what if you don't appeal to Mr. Sinatra's followers? You know that crowd of young nippers who wear Robert's stockings?
You wouldn't by any chance mean Bobby socks.
Oh, yes, they
yes,
are.
That's right.
Jack, you know, when those kids don't like a person, they sure let them know it in a hurry.
Well, Tugwell, they're just kids, and I'm a grown man. What have I got to be afraid of?
Have you ever got hit in the eye with a wad of Bahat bubble gum?
I never even saw any Bahat bubble gum. But I'll worry about that when I come to it. Bahat bubble gum. Preacher, call up this producer and make an appointment for my audition this afternoon.
Very well, sir. But I think you're getting a bit over your head, sir.
I think I'll vocalize a little bit.
Me!
Tugwell, answer the door, will you?
Okay.
Hello, everybody.
Hiya, Norma Jean.
Well, hello, honey. Come on in.
Me! Mama, ma, me, ma! Me, ma, me, ma! Me, ma, me.
What's the matter with Mr. Carson?
I'm doing a few vocal exercises, honey.
Me.
Yeah, you see, he wants to get his voice so it'll mesmerize girls.
Mesmerize girls? What does that mean?
Well, when you get a little older, you fall in a tub of starch.
Yes, you won't have to worry about that for a few years, honey. I'm practicing because I'm doing some singing this afternoon.
With a chorus, like you did back in Milwaukee?
Hey, when was that?
Mr. Carson told me that he sang back there with a chorus of 1,000 voices.
Well, you remember when I did that, Tugwell. I was first tenor with the Wisconsin Dairy and Cheese Choir.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Not only that, when I sang, you could hear my voice above all the other hundreds of singers.
Golly, I bet you had to strain a lot.
Well, a little, yes.
A little, he says. After every concert, they had to put his eyeballs back in the socket with a pool cue.
They heard me, anyway. Now, Norma Jean, why don't you run in the other room and play? I want to get back to practicing this exercise.
All right. Goodbye now.
See you later, honey.
Me, me, me. Ma, ma, me. Ma, me, me, ma, 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 ma.
Excuse me for walking right in, but I knocked and nobody heard me.
Oh, hello, Miss Ryan. I guess we didn't hear you because I was singing. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected. Recently, I've been having a pain and a sort of buzzing noise in both of my ears.
Oh, that's too bad.
Me, 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 ma, ma. Me, me, me,
oh,
ma.
My, what a glorious voice.
Me. You really think so?
Yes.
You know, that trouble with your ears might be serious.
Look, well, will you try to get lost for a while?
Oh, Mr. Carson, here are those throat lozenges you called and asked me to bring over.
Thank you, Miss Ryan. I needed them in case I overtaxed my voice.
Oh, I was afraid you had a cold. I think I must be getting a cold. I just shiver all the time.
Yes. Well, I was just vocalizing.
You take last night, for instance, I didn't get a wink of sleep.
Yeah, because you were so cold?
No, because I was so warm. You see, I usually put a heating pad in the bed, but last night in the dark I made a mistake and put in the waffle iron. When I woke up this morning, I had square goose pimples.
That's nice. I see that. Now you're practically non-skid. I don't know. I mean, I was going to tell you, Miss Ryan, that I'm going in for a brand new career. You see, I may...
Carson, I reached that picture producer on the phone, and he said he could give you an audition at 2 o'clock.
Oh, swell. 2 o'clock would be fine.
Yes, there'll be one other singer there to try out for the job at the same time, sir.
Another singer? Who could that be?
Mr. George Byrne, sir. He's being sponsored by Miss Gracie Allen.
George Burns, a singer? Well, he hasn't got a chance against me. If he knows that I'm competing against him, he must be really worried. Well, I'll bet he's home right now, biting his nails.
George, stop biting your nails.
But, Gracie, I'm worried. Do you realize that you got me in a contest to replace Frank Sinatra?
Yes, but there's nothing to worry about. What's he got anyhow? He's not good-looking, and his voice is terrible, and he's so ridiculous the women just laugh at him.
Sinatra's so ridiculous that women laugh at him?
Oh, I thought you were still talking about Jack Carson.
Gracie, I don't mind admitting that Carson may be a little competition.
Oh, pooh, he's nothing.
Of course, he can't sing as good as I can. But look how muscular he is and husky. That might appeal to the women, you know.
Oh, George, you're muscular, too.
I am?
Well, of course you are. Don't you remember when we were married? You picked me up with your two brute-like arms and carried me across the threshold.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yes, certainly. Oh, and what a wedding night that was. Just you and me and the chiropractor.
Well, he was company for your mother. Gracie, any way you look at it, I'm not as big and strong as Carson.
Oh, George, you always underestimate yourself. You're terribly strong. Make a fist.
Make a fist?
Yes.
Okay, there. How's that?
Better use two hands. Now you're going to get a surprise. Just feel the muscle in your arm.
The muscle in my arm? Where?
Have patience. It'll come swimming by any minute. And don't you worry about Jack Carson. You just keep on like you are, and in no time you'll be another Gregory Peck. Oh, just imagine me married to another Gregory Peck.
Gracie, if I was Gregory Peck, I wouldn't be singing.
Oh, no, but I would.
Oh.
Now, let's see if your throat needs spraying again. Let me hear that beautiful golden voice.
Okay. No one to talk with all by myself. Whoa, 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 whoa. No one to talk with, I'm happy on the job. Endless for heaven. Same.
Oh, that's offer. Wonderful.
Oh, baby, look.
Oh, you sound just like a violin.
Really? A violin? Really?
Oh, yes. If I didn't know you, I'd swear you were Fritz Kreisler's G-string.
Well, thank you very much. Gracie, couldn't I come early and sing for the man before Carson got there? And he'd realize I was the best man for the job and hire me?
Oh, no, it's too late now, George. 2 o'clock was the only hour open, and Jack Carson will be there at the same time. And wait a minute. I've got an idea how we can fool Jack. If it works, you'll be the only one at the audition.
How?
Well, we'll go over to Jack's house, and I'll talk him out of going to the studio at 2 o'clock.
How can you do that?
Oh, well, just leave the whole thing to me. He's a man, and a man is a pushover for a woman's flattery. I'll just tell him he's romantic and irresistible and the best-looking guy in the whole world.
Gracie, to believe things like that, a man has to be pretty stupid.
Well, no, I told you all those things once.
What did I say?
You married me.
Well, okay, where's my hat? Let's go over to Carson's.
Well, this is Jack's house, George. I'll go in first and you wait out here on the porch.
Wait out here?
Yes. I'll try flattery first, and if that doesn't get him to postpone the audition, I'll call you.
And then what?
Well, then you come in and pretend you've got a terrible cold. And Jack will have to postpone in fairness to you.
Oh, I pretend I have a terrible cold.
Yes. Now stand back so Jack don't see you. Mm. I'll ring the buzzer.
Well, hello, Gracie. Come on in.
Oh, thank you. Jack, I've got a big favor to ask you.
Yes?
You know, you and George are going to have that audition today at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to stay here and let George go over to the studio by himself.
Why?
Well, don't you see, you silly boy? It'll give you and me a chance to be alone.
Gracie, I don't understand.
Well, I've never told you this before, Jack Carson, but I'm crazy about you. You're ravishing. You're gorgeous. I dream about you every night.
But, Gracie, what about George?
Oh, he doesn't dream. He sleeps on his stomach.
Wait a minute. I don't get this at all. I appreciate your liking me, Gracie, but nothing can keep me away from that audition.
Oh. Well, then I guess I'll have to tell you the truth. George can't sing today because he's got a terrible cold.
Oh, now I begin to see. You figured against my voice, his wouldn't have a chance.
Yes. He's out on the porch now. Oh, wait till you hear how hoarse he is. I'll get him. George, come in here, please. There he is. Just look at the terrible condition he's in.
But Gracie, George always looks that way. How are you, George? What was that?
Say it again, George.
Gee, your voice is in bad shape, isn't it?
Oh, you don't know the half of it. This morning he tried to sing My Blue Heaven and it came out Old Buttermilk Sky. Right, George?
Well, maybe you're right, Gracie. If George isn't there to sing against me, I'd just be stealing the job. I'll tell you what. Okay, I'll postpone the audition for a couple of days.
Oh, good. Thank you, Jack. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Gracie. Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Jack.
What did you say?
I mean...
Mr. Carson, I overheard the conversation from the kitchen, and I must say you're giving Mr. Burns a sporting chance.
Sporting chance? Nothing. Without him there at 2 o'clock, I'm a cinch to take Sinatra's place. Give me my hat, Treacher. I've just got 20 minutes to make it. Gee, it was nice of you to pick me up in your car, Del. I was in an awful hurry to get over to the studio.
Oh, I was glad to do it, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, this is a brand new car, isn't it? Gee, look at all the knobs and buttons on your radio.
Yeah, it's got four wavelengths.
It has?
Yeah, you press this one, you get Alaska.
Hmm.
Press this one, and you get Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing you can't get on it.
Huh? What is that, Del?
A steaming bowl of Campbell's tomato soup.
Well, you mean you've got one of those old-fashioned radios you can't get a bowl of Campbell's soup on? Get out! Downright unlucky!
Oh, yes, Jack, after a long drive, what could be more welcome than a bowl of Campbell's tomato soup? You see, it's the soup most folks like best. It's so velvet smooth and delicious, so filled all through with the luscious flavor of the world's finest tomatoes, gently seasoned and carefully blended with golden table butter.
You know, Del, an instrument in your car that would heat a bowl of soup wouldn't be a bad idea. It would come in mighty handy when you have a date. Ho, ho! Jack!
Why, sure, Jack. If you were out with a girl, you could just park on the road somewhere and picture a nice, steaming bowl full.
That's not my problem. I need something to cool them off. Hey, Del. Now look out where you're driving.
Well, don't worry, Jack. I've got extra good brakes.
Okay, but you don't have to tell me that Campbell's tomato soup is filled with wonderful... flavor. Gee, you almost hit that car. Well, this is where I was going anyway, Del. Thanks for bringing me over.
You're welcome, Jack. And don't forget to stock up on Campbell's tomato soup. Mmm, good.
Okay. So long, Del. Get!
Now the magic music of Freddie Martin featuring Stuart Wade and El Cumbanchero.
Cel tambor, virchi di bum bum ba.
Bum bum ba.
I quel viar ripicar, virchi di bum bum ba.
Bum bum ba.
A cumba, 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 cero.
Cumba, cero.
A bango, 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 zero.
Bango, zero.
Ricchi che va svel nan quel cumba, cero, bango, zero, che se va. Bango, zero, che se va. Yeah.
Minutes to two. I'm right on time. Oh, this audition's going to be a cinch without George Burns here to clutter things up.
Mr. Carson.
Preacher, what in the world are you doing down here?
I hurried over in a taxi, sir. You forgot your music.
Oh, gee, thanks, Preacher. Hey, tell me, how do I look as a possible successor to Frank Sinatra?
Fine, sir. But isn't that bow tie you're wearing a bit too wide?
Too wide?
Yes. Don't you think you ought to snip it off just beyond your shoulders? It seems so floppy, sir. Why don't you fasten it?
Well, Sinatra never fastens a bow tie. He just puts it on his Adam's apple and lets it ride up and down. Pitcher, as long as you came down, you might as well stick around. Now, you wait out here in the hallway. It won't take me long to get this shop.
Very well, sir.
It's just the waiting room. That must be the producer's office over there with his name in the door, Mr. Raymond. He knows I'm coming. He'll probably be out in a minute. Sinatra, eh? The music stopped. But we went on dancing.
Mr. Carson, what? Mr. Carson. Mr. and Mrs. George Burns are coming down the hall, sir.
They are. Why, that phony double-crosser. I bet he was faking that call just to have a clear field. You know something, Preacher? He lied to me.
Sir, you told a story, too.
Preacher, anybody who would do a thing like that to one of his friends is nothing but a rat.
Yes.
Could I get you a cheese sandwich, sir?
Well, I don't want George and Gracie to catch me here. Quick, let's get down and hide behind this screen.
There. Now be quiet. Shh, shh.
You see, George, Jack Carson isn't here. Everything worked out just the way I said it would.
Yeah, but I'm still a little nervous.
Oh, just relax, dear. Sit down and let me massage your throat.
I'd like to get my hands on his throat.
Oh, I have to laugh when I think how we fooled Jack Carson. It was so easy.
Naturally. That guy's not very smart to begin with.
No.
Did you ever notice in pictures that dumb look he's always got on his puss?
Oh, yes. His face is so blank, too. Now, he's got the same look our Pekingese had when she stuck her nose in an electric light socket.
You're giving the dog the worst of it, you.
Just a minute, you. I heard every word you said.
Jack, Treacher, what are you guys doing here?
I'll ask the questions, Burns. What happened to that cold in your chest?
To take Sinatra's place, who needs a chest?
You stay out of this, Gracie. This is between George and me. George, if you weren't smaller than I am, I'd put so many knots in that puny frame of yours, you'd look like a pretzel.
Don't let him talk to you like that, George. Stand right up to him. Say something. Say something!
Mr. Carson, it's 2:00. Should I knock on the producer's door?
Yes, go ahead, Preacher. I want to be first.
Now, wait a minute.
Yes, what is it?
Just
a second. No. One at a time, if you please. There's no reason to be excited. Don't you know the Republicans are in again?
Well, Mr. Raymond, this man and I both think we're good enough for the Sinatra job. And it's... Well, it's up to you to do something about it.
I see. Now, just who are you?
Who am I? Oh, surely, Mr. Raymond, you recognize me? I'm a radio comedian.
Well, it's a little late for us to do anything about that. Besides, we're looking for a singer.
Oh, my goodness. I sing on the Campbell Soup program.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hildegard.
I am not Hildegard.
I told you not to wear that form-fitting suit, sir.
Mr. Raymond, you're just wasting your time with him. Now, here's the man who's the logical successor to Sinatra. George Sugarthroat Burns.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Raymond.
Now, look at it sensibly, Mr. Raymond. Think how long it'll take you to break Jack Carson down until he looks like Sinatra. But take George. He's a physical wreck already.
Gracie.
Look at those awful sunken cheeks.
Gracie.
And look at those terrible rings under his eyes.
Gracie, I appreciate you helping me get the job.
And did you ever see a rib roast without potatoes? That's George in a bathing suit.
Let me get a word in here edgewise.
Mrs. Burns, in spite of what you say, I hardly think your husband would appeal to Sinatra's followers.
Oh, is that so? George, pull up your pants and show him your bobby socks.
Gracie,
You go ahead, George.
Well, okay. There. Oh, brother, you should have never put bobby socks on those legs. They look like pipe cleaners with a fuzz pushed down.
Well, if I must listen to your voices, let's get it over with.
Although it's really a waste of time, because what we want for a job like this is a big-name singer like, well, Al Jolson.
Al Jolson? Well, listen.
Blow April the showers. They come, they are where. They bring those tiny little flowers. And a bloom in a bay.
Thank you very
those
much.
Those tiny little flowers.
Yeah, it is.
Thank those you. Flowers.
Thank you.
Mr. Raymond, George can do that, too. Go ahead, George. Like Jolson.
Don't talk with home, mammy. All by myself, home, mammy.
Just a minute.
No one to walk with, home, mammy.
Wait a minute.
I'm happy on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving.
Stop.
Mammy.
Stop.
Mammy.
Stop it.
Mr. Raymond. How dare you stop George before he finished?
Because I don't like the song, I don't like his voice, and I don't like him.
Well, how about his mammy?
You Mrs. Burns, I've been listening to people who thought they could sing all day long. High voices, low voices, in-between voices. And all of them were awful.
You mean you don't want to hear me sing anymore?
No.
Well, what about me?
That goes for you, too. I don't want to hear anything from you.
Not even one tiny little flower. Mr. Raymond, what shall we do?
I don't know about you, but I'm going home. Goodbye.
Oh, well, how do you like that? He didn't even give you a fair chance, George.
Yeah. If he had any brains, he could see that I've got a better voice than Sinatra's.
Your voice is better? Oh, don't make me laugh. Why, Sinatra wouldn't wipe his shoes on you.
Oh, is that so? Well, he did. It was raining one day,
okay,
and George
okay,
happened to be
forget
standing
it,
there.
Okay, okay, forget it, stop helping me.
But don't feel bad, dear. Even if you didn't win, cheer up.
Yes, Mr. Carson, why don't you do the same?
You'll feel better when we get home, George. I'll make you a nice cup of hot tea.
Thank you.
I'll do the same for you, Mr. Carson.
Thank you, Fisher.
And while you're sitting in your favorite chair, George, I'll get your pipe and your slippers.
I'll do the same for you, Mr. Carson.
Thank you, Fisher.
And then, George, when you've finished your tea, I'll put my arms around you and give you a great big wonderful kiss.
Fisher?
Better have some more tea, sir.
Jack Carson will be back in just a moment. The very first thing I hope you find waiting for you at supper tomorrow is a big steaming plate of Campbell's tomato soup. There's nothing hits the spot on these winter evenings like good hot soup, especially when it's the soup most folks like best, Campbell's tomato soup. The tempting aroma and bright red color call to your appetite right off, and then you dip in your spoon. You get that luscious flavor of plump red ripe tomatoes blended with fine table butter and delicate seasoning. Good. And you'll find Campbell's tomato soup extra delicious and extra nourishing when you fix it with milk as a delicious cream of tomato. Wouldn't that be just the way to start off supper tomorrow with big piping hot plates of cream of tomato soup? Well, then better tell Mother to look and see if her cupboard shelf holds a can or two of Campbell's tomato soup.
Good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
This is Jack Carson. Thank you for being with us tonight and hoping you'll all be with us again next Wednesday at the same time. Until then, good luck and good night.
Franco-American spaghetti. F-A-O. Franco-American. F-A-O. Franco-American. F-A-O. Franco-American. Back at your grocer's again.
Franco-American spaghetti is back. America's favorite, the spaghetti with the extra good sauce. Ready cooked to give grand, good eating, but quick. Get Franco-American spaghetti tomorrow.
F.A. Franco-American, back at your grocer's again.
Listen in Wednesday to the Jack Carson Show. George Burns and Gracie Allen appear through the courtesy of Maxwell House Coffee. Every night on CBS is the biggest show in town, so stay tuned for Dr. Christian, following immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.